Sorry, I'm a little bit late, but welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Let's sit back and chat about what is happening up in the stars above. And I told you yesterday this was a fairly quiet week. And of course, that means today I really don't have a ton to talk about, at least not in the normal sense of what we talk about here in the mornings, as far as, you know, who's doing what to what planet. Or what the moon is doing, but we still have some things to talk about. And let's just jump in. Let's see, people are checking in already. Good morning, Rebecca and Catherine. Great to see you ladies. And I'm sure more of you will be checking in here shortly. So how's everybody doing this fine morning? I have to tell you, I live in North Washington, Northwest Washington. So literally about maybe 45 minutes from the Canadian border. And probably an hour to an hour and a half away from Seattle, depending on the traffic. And this morning, it is such a beautiful day, so cold and crisp. But I looked outside and I could see Mount Rainier from here. And Mount Rainier is south of Seattle. So it's darn near, I don't know, maybe 100, 105 miles away. And I could still see that beautiful mountain out there in the distance, and it looks like it's right in front of me. It's really amazing to see. I live at the not too far from another volcano called Mount Baker, but I'm blocked from seeing Mount Baker, even though it's the closer volcano, but I can't see it because it's right there behind me, or in front of me. So I really can't see that one unless I'm out driving. But to be able to just stand up and look out my window, in fact, sitting here right now, I could see it. Awe-inspiring, right? Awe-inspiring to see the works of art that the universe has created for us here on the planet. Let's see who else is checking in with us this morning. Asa, it's great to see you. And Ann Stevens, welcome back. And Rebecca, good afternoon. I think you must still be in Spain, so good afternoon to you. Allison, good morning. April, good morning. Marissa, good morning. April says, it's snowing in Quebec. What? Are you kidding me? That's crazy. Well, I guess it is. It's October, right? We've already had snow here. We've had tons of rain. I believe it, right? Mimi, good morning to you. We missed you yesterday. Trisha Gelder, good morning. And Allison says good morning to everybody. So it looks like everybody is right up here with us this morning and ready for us to jump in and see what is happening for the day. So I was checking around this morning thinking, what would I like to talk about? You know, and literally there's a lot to talk about on any given day, right? We could talk about the gene keys. We could talk about human design. We can talk about astrology. We can talk about metaphysics in general. We could, you know, any number of topics that we could talk about. But today we're going to talk a little bit about how it is that we are meant to be living our lives right now as seen through what these planets are doing. And I just want to remind you that we are in an intense period of time. And if you don't believe me, which I can't imagine that you don't believe me, but if you didn't believe me, you could visually see by looking at a chart what's happening here, right? As we look at this quadrant, I guess you could say, of your astrology chart, where we have, now I know this looks a little bit more daunting than it is because of the nature of space. We have, you know, very little room in this place to put all of the symbols, so they're kind of spread out. But what I've highlighted here is where we have literally all these planets right here all congregated in this little space, and these planets right here congregated in this space, and then more congregated in this space. So we have a congregation going on in late Scorpio, a congregation going on in mid to late Sagittarius, and a congregation going on in mid to late Capricorn. And these are the places where the energy is like picking up. So even if there's a day like today and I'm like, wow, hard pressed to find what is it that I really want to talk about because there's nothing going on in the moment, all of the things that we've been talking about for all of these last several weeks are still going on, right? They're still happening out there, and they're still moving through the underside, the unseen side of things as we move forward here now at a faster clip, so it seems, toward 2020. I know when I was looking at the calendar, because yesterday I was preparing for the workshop today, the webinar on what's happening in November. And I went, oh my God, there's only th this is our last monthly webinar because next month literally is the one for 2020. And that just took me and shook me to my core because who knew? I mean, these years are just like peeling away. Like I could lift the calendar and just peel away the calendar, the months. That's how fast it seems to go, right? Just incredibly fast. So as we are starting to wind down the year 2019, there are some key things for us to keep a look out for. But before we get into that, let's start with what is going on today. That's an important thing, right? Today, the moon is in Scorpio still. It will turn void, of course, at 10:34 my time, 1:34 for you all on the East Coast. And be in the void until 2:59 p.m. my time, 5:59 for you guys on the East Coast, when it will then move into the sign of Sagittarius, thus fundamentally shifting the energy for us. I think I'll wait until tomorrow morning to really talk about what it means to have the moon in Sagittarius, because I want us to be able to finish out this transit that we have of the moon moving through Scorpio, because it's taking us into those deep emotional connections, the grievances, the emotional hurts, and all of the ancient stuff that we've been carrying within us from your lineages, from your ancestry, from your family of origin, to your interaction with communities and tribes and nations that you live in. So we've really had this opportunity for the last couple of days to go deep and to really look at and consider what kinds of changes that we might need to make, right? We've been asking deep questions. And I don't even have a question for you today, actually. That's pretty funny. But while the moon is in Scorpio, we have a very powerful time to look at what needs to be transformed. What do we want to change up? What do we need to release and let go of? Because remember, it rules the elimination system in the body. Dropping books. And because it rules the elimination system in the body, then there's the possibility that we've stored up toxins and toxins in the form of old beliefs. And it is time to shed those, to let them go, to move them on out of the body, out of the mind, out of the emotional field, and out of your spiritual field. So, what are you willing to let go of? Right? That's the question. And we have the moon today conjunct both Venus and Mercury. In fact, as the moon moves into the void at 10:34 my time, it will leave us with that conjunction to Mercury. So we have a lot of ability to tap into what's going on up here and maybe even hear ourselves conversing with other people. And in that, listening to what we're saying or listening to what other people are saying to us, we might be able to catch what it is that we're still holding on to. Because you might hear it in your speech. You may hear yourself telling an old story. And if you're telling an old story, can you rewrite that story? Or can you retell that story in a way that creates an opening for something new for you, for your evolution or your elevation, if you will, or your ascension, to use a sort of metaphysically tired word, I think, at this point in time. But ascension, meaning your evolution. And can you see or hear or feel or intuit what it is that's still left for you to do? Because that is open for you today. Now, Mercury and Venus conjunct usually come together and they're very good to one another, right? This is speaking affectionately and being able to speak from our values and our ability to see and hear each other and value and respect one another and our points of view. And today that's even a little bit more in focus because Venus herself is conjunct Pallas Athena, also the moon, right? At the moment I drew up the chart this morning, which was at 7:01 my time, Moon Pallas Athena and Venus were all at 25 degrees of Scorpio, and Mercury was at 27 degrees of Scorpio. He has almost reached the limit of his movement through Scorpio before his retrograde, which will be at 28 degrees, and then he will start moving backwards. So he's going to run into Venus and Pallas, and the moon is going to run into Mercury. So we have a lot going on today, potentially, as we look at our financial picture, as we look at our values, as we begin to communicate what's important to us. And when we look into the contents of our mind and see, are we really living according to what's important to us? Or have we gotten off on some sidetrack that really has little meaning to our lives? Now, Venus conjunct Pallas Athena. So I had to, this is a fairly new body in the archetypes of the for astrology. So this is one of those pieces that I feel like is in the midst of strengthening Pallas Athena, that is, as we call in more and more of those feminine archetypes. Well, she's definitely the archetype of sort of the female warrior, the warrior goddess, or the what is that woman? Wonder Woman. That's not the one. Is that the one I was thinking about? What, Superwoman, Wonder Woman? She's kind of this wise and very powerful and strong in many senses of the word, right? She's not muscular strong like we would think of as male heroes, but she's definitely the epitome of the feminine hero archetype. And so, what is our feminine archetype hero doing with Venus, the feminine archetype, the softer side, right? So, what are we looking at here in terms of the potential of the expression of this archetype? And what I started to see was that there's an eye for beauty here, and beauty and patterns. The Pallas Athena recognizes patterns. Her wisdom often comes from the logical side of things, where she can see patterns emerging and being able to predict the outcome based on the patterns. So we have beauty and patterns. And that reminds me of sacred geometry. And it reminds me of the depth of your human design. Because the first time I ever looked at human design, at a human design chart, what I saw was that sacred geometry, was this idea that our energy was dimensional and not, just like what we think we see. There's all of these different sides and facets to it. And you also have these many sides to you and these facets to you. So in a way, we're also in a position to upgrade our values. I was thinking of a word that I could use, and I was like, elevate? No. We really need to go through an upgrade. You know how once a week or so your computer goes through an upgrade? Windows 10 or whatever programs you're using, they go through upgrades. And that's what we're going through as a collective now, is this upgrade in our values. And in that, we are speaking up and being heard and about what it is that we are demanding in our society or in our lives, in our world, on our planet. And that might mean we're speaking up for people who don't have as much power as us. I think when I think of that, I'm thinking of immigrants, I'm thinking of the poor, I'm thinking of some of the religions that get tramped on in various countries. I'm thinking of sexism and racism and all of these things that we can see. It's very clear to us when we see the negative impacts of what that is out there in the world. So we're speaking up and being heard, speaking up maybe in defense of the weaker or the classes that don't always have the same representation that we do. We have to learn respect for the process and the laws and our agreements and our contracts, etc. And we've been watching this unveil in the United States. I think Brexit is another one of those instances where we see in here anyway our constitution and our laws and all of these things being used in ways that are not quite what the values were when those things were enacted, right? So we're having to look at this again and respect the process that's involved in straightening these things out, right? Because it's not like we're going to turn this on a dime. Although I will hold out the hope that that can happen because I've seen miracles, right? I've seen things happen in the moment that we choose something, and I've seen us be able to turn things around. But we have to respect this process. And in that, we're respecting the laws of the land, the natural laws of the universe, and all of that, and looking at ourselves as human beings as a part of all of that and not separate from all of that. Sometimes I think we hold ourselves back as human beings as somehow above or beyond the need to respect this planet, right? The earth, the water, the air. And you can tell when our laws start being tramped on as far as in favor of big businesses or oil companies that want to come in ruin the environment. Or, you only have to look back at Japan in 2011 with that gigantic earthquake that released, I don't know how many thousands of gallons or millions of gallons of radiated water into the ocean. Right? That has impact, right? We've got to look at the bigger picture of what we're doing in Pallas Athena, in conjunction with Venus, and then in conjunction with Mercury. And over time, she's also going to end up in a conjunction to the galactic center. All of these things are moving toward that, day where they pick up new codes and new information and new marching orders coming out of that galactic center. And what will that be, right? What will that be? Respect then for the planet, respect for one another, respect for our individuality, respect for our collectivity, our collective. And that means for all people in the collective, not just the rich, not just the whites, not just the males, not just the Christians, whatever it is that you have seen out there. And I'm not saying that you all are divisive. That isn't my thing. It's like we see it though. It's there in our faces. And what are we going to do about it, right? How are we going to speak to that? How are we going to be heard in rising up for the support of those things that we hold dear, those values, etc.? One way for sure is with your vote. How many of you out there vote? I would say that even here in the morning show, there is probably a percentage of you out there that don't vote for whatever reason that is. But it's your voice. It is one way for you to use your voice. So if you haven't gone out there and voted, even, I think maybe people vote more in the presidential elections, but what about the elections that go on in your community? Right? I've got a ballot sitting here right now for things that are relatively minor in the big scope of things. There's a couple of Washington state things, but mostly this is like our local community, school districts, fire districts, etc. But it's important that I show up because I want my voice heard, right? And partly the way I get my voice heard is with my vote. So I encourage any of you out there who think your voice doesn't count or that your vote doesn't count, get out there and register if you still can and vote in every election that you have the privilege and the right to vote in, right? That we many people lost their lives to give us that privilege, to give us that right. And get out there and do it. There are no excuses. At least, like here in this state, it might be different than it is in other states. We get mail-in ballots and we can vote and just drop it in the nearest mailbox. It's postage paid. You can't even complain about not having a stamp. You can drive through the library and drop it in a special ballot box. They've made it so easy, right? There's no excuse. Get out there and do your part. Use your voice. Another way that you get to be heard is with your dollars. Your dollars, your hard-earned dollars, give you the right to purchase products or to help groups or organizations that are near and dear to your heart. You can use your dollars to make a statement. You can use your voice to make a statement. Show up at city council meetings or county council meetings and let your voice be heard, right? That is your right. That is your privilege. That is Pallas Athena in action, right? She comes to tell us to respect the process, and part of the process is using your vote and getting it out there, right? I know some of you are irritated with the system, and so am I. And th that, you know, sometimes it feels like you really don't ha count, but you do. But you do. The universe sees you supporting things that you value. And it brings us more of those things that then we can value. That's basically what I'm saying here. So, Pallas Athena, the laws, the agreements, the respect for each other, for the differences, for the sameness, the likeness, an eye for beauty, and an eye for patterns. So we have this wonderful time period right now where we can come together and see things in a different way, letting that feminine archetypal energy rise. Remember, the feminine often creates by consensus, right? We look at the bigger picture. I think sometimes the male-dominated paradigm right now is really maybe hyper-focused on the monetary, the good old boy network, the scratching each other's backs, irregardless of what it means for the planet or for the people involved. And I'm not saying that it's men that are the problem, but I'm saying that with a feminine archetype would say, let's create consensus. Let's create from what the group wants and not just what an individual wants for his particular business or you know for his particular industry. Let's look at the bigger picture. Yeah, so lots of things for us to consider that are kind of being seeded in behind the scenes. You know, we're not just like it's not overtly out in the field where people are talking like this, but this is exactly what we need to hear and exactly what we need to take action on. All right, let's see who else has joined us here. Good morning, Linda and Kristen and Diane Oben. Great to see you. Christine Erickson joining us likely from Europe somewhere. It's evening, probably, or early afternoon. Lisa Pedro, good morning. Colleen, good morning. Colleen says, and women could only vote for the last 99 years. There's that, right? We've come a long way, baby. We really have. So let's not lose our momentum by not showing up. You have to show up, right? We've got to show up. If we don't show up, then shame on us, right? I taught every one of my kids that you have no right to complain about what the world looks like if you're not out there voting. It is the one thing that you can do that really makes a difference. Now, you may not get your way, your candidate may not get elected, but it's a respect for the process that we're talking about. It's respect for the continuity of those values that we hold dear. So there you have that. I'm going to get off my soapbox now before I get on to something else. I just want to say one more thing. Now, most of you here know that I am really not a Trump supporter. I really don't like the man. I think he's insufferable and narcissistic, and he's showing us our worst characteristics as human beings, right? He's doing his job in that respect. But what I can't conscience is when any person is booed. We may not be happy about the things that are happening, and he will be called to task, whether it's in this life or the next or the afterlife. He will be called to task for his wrongs, as all of us will be, right? But that just gave me a knife in the heart. I mean, I really just wanted to go out and hug the man because the last thing that he needs, and someone will pay the price because he is a narcissist, some group of people will pay the price for that kind of behavior. I get it, using your voice, right? I'm telling you to use your voice, but there are other ways to use your voice that are respectful as opposed to rising up to or right coming down to the level of that kind of behavior. And it was an emotional reaction in the moment. I get it. But we have to remember that things that we accuse other people of, we can't, on the other hand, then go and engage in that same kind of behavior, right? That doesn't solve the problem. That just keeps the devolution happening. And we've been in a spiral that we could consider devolution and as opposed to evolution. And where does it end, right? Where does that end? And where do we end that kind of behavior, that ugliness, that shadowy, fear-based energy? And where does respect begin? And where do we begin to love one another and create unity as opposed to that continued separation? So anyway, that was just a thought I had. It just killed me. I can imagine how that would be considered bullying. Bullying. Okay. Anyway. All right. So let's move on to what is going on in the Pleiadian calendar today. Today is 11 listening. Remember, the number is the universal energy of the day. So wherever you are on this planet and or any other planet in this universe, or any life form on any planet. And when I say life form, even the blades of grass, the worms, the slugs, all the lowest life forms and all the biggest life forms resonate to the energy of the 11, which is about illumination, right? Illumination, turning the light on. And what do we see, right? If you look into your heart, what do you see? If you look into the depths of your mind, what do you see? Right? The number 11 is that illuminating energy, the ability to see into something with the light, not with the dark, but with the light. But what I do find interesting is that it's paired with the earth energy today of listening. And listening energy in the Mayan calendar was Akbal, which represented the night or the darkness or the deep or the void. And here was our opportunity to listen to one another, to hear with our ears, in a deeper sort of way, not to just hear the words, but to really take them in, to make them felt, right? That this is where we practice empathy. This is a day for practicing care, self-care or nurturing of others. This is a day to be responsible, right? Not knee-jerk reaction, or not participating in knee-jerk reactions, but really being responsible for what you say, for what you do, for how you show up in the world, right? That's that energy for today. We have to watch out for pessimism on a day like this. And we have to watch out for controlling behavior. We have to watch out for really leaning into that negative energy. So we want to release that and we want to come out more with our hearts, right? Just take your hands and move your hands back. And what does that do? It opens up your heart space. It opens up the chest and pulls those pec muscles apart, and you feel different, right? When you're hunched over, you feel small, maybe insignificant, closed, but when you open up, then you're more engaged in the world, you're more open, you're more heart-centered, and the energy shift is almost palpable. Within your own self, you feel that. So open up your chest today. Girls, stick them out, get them out there, and let your heart lead with your heart. That's the kind of day that we have today. All right. Questions, comments. I'm talking too much. Deb Johnson, good morning to you this morning. Elisa, good morning. Mimi says, admittedly, I have mixed feelings on the booing. On one hand, it is a bit shameful. On the other hand, it is a balance for his rallies. I get it. I so get it. I mean, one part of me was in glee that something like that would happen to him, like a comeuppance. And then I went, oh my God, no. What if that were you, right? What if that were you standing up to talk about astrology and everybody booed? Oh my God, I would be crushed, right? He is a person. I know he doesn't act like that sometimes. I know he doesn't act like what we would expect of a president of a country or of a human being in some cases, but he is a person, right? And so as much as I don't like his politics, as much as I don't like his behaviors, as much as I don't like the lying and all of that kind of stuff, he's still a person. And I wouldn't suggest that we boo anybody, right? Because to boo someone else, then that boomerangs back to you, right? It's a reflection in the mirror. And what are you seeing in that mirror? Because that's what our relationships are. Right. And, you know, he's not necessarily in a personal relationship with you, but you are in a relationship with him as you are a citizen of this country. And there is a relationship between you as citizen and he as the leader. And what is that then reflecting back to you? That's how we use this energy. What is that reflection? And what can I do about it? Right. When I see somebody behaving like that, Then I'm going to be much more open-hearted when I see a homeless person, perhaps, or a vet, or anybody that's of different skin color. I mean, I'm going to be very uber aware of how that person may feel marginalized in the society that we're living in. So I don't know. What do we do about that, right? Well, I think we're better than that, and we have to rise up and be better than that, or else we're right there in the same place he is, and none of us like that. So, all right. But thanks for saying that, Mimi, because yeah, I get it. I so get that. Gail says, wow, good morning, Gail. Christine Erickson, afternoon. Yes, 4:25. Jake came from work, felt so bad all day among people at work. It's me feeling blocked among some people, don't want to have that behavior anymore. And it's me feeling others' energies exhausted as a projector. I may be at the wrong place. The wrong palace is how you spelled that. I love that you, on some unconscious level, wrote the word palace rather than place. You need to find your palace, right? Palace. And Stevens, his Chiron is very active, no doubt. All of our Chirons are very activated. And Anne says, we can have compassion for his inner child. Exactly. We can have compassion for someone who is out there behaving like he behaves. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, he's a grown adult and he should be responsible for his own way of being and for, his taking responsibility for his own healing. It's not our responsibility, but our responsibility is to live by the values that we have. And those core values are often based in love. And is that a loving, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just asking more of myself and asking more of the people around me, right? That's my job, is to ask more. And that doesn't mean, though, that I don't devolve myself sometimes into those behaviors, right? Okay. So let's take a look at the sun and the earth through our favorite little Wisdom Keeper's inner guidebook. Because I think, there's some things here about what we're seeing in our outer world that this little guide can answer for us. And maybe some of you will see some common themes in from your own lives or from people in the outer world playing out through this book or playing out through what we're going to read. So this is from a card deck that was written by Rosie Aronson. And PhD. She was here on the morning show with me a few months back, and she has the Oracle cards, right? The Wisdom Keeper's Oracle deck and inner guidebook. The little guidebook comes with the cards, and the cards are made up of these beautiful faces. And the first face I want us to look at today is the Gift of Totality, which is the sun at gate 28, whose shadow is purposelessness. Look at that face. Isn't that just beautiful? And the rose and the symbols and the eyes, and I mean, everything there just speaks volumes, I think. It is card number 27, or excuse me, 28. 27 will be the next one we look at. So, this is the placement of the sun for this week. And here's the wisdom story. There is a deep sense of thrill that comes as you progressively face your inner demons. The gift is totality, the shadow of purposelessness. Say that 10 times fast. The Siddhi is immortality, and its programming partner, of course, that is where the earth is today, altruism, which we will take up next. Here's the wisdom story. I was a sensitive, fearful child. I looked around me and saw all that could go wrong. I could lose someone I loved, an earthquake could hit, a bomb could go off. I could fall and hurt myself. I could get sick. My heart could break. Wherever I looked, I felt unsafe. As I grew older, I became obsessed with life, or rather with avoiding death. At first, I focused on safety and survival. I worked hard to stay healthy, to make money, to build a home, and to become a pious member of the community. Though I seemed happy, at ease to others, I felt hollow inside. Deep down, I knew I was meant to do more with my life, but I was afraid to do it. I was waiting for a readiness that never seemed to come. The quality of my fears began to change. I became less worried about not making a living and more worried about having no reason to live. I began experiencing night terrors. As soon as my head hit the pillow, I was chased down, struck by gremlins, and obliterated by natural disasters. I started avoiding sleep, too afraid to close my eyes. Instead, wide-eyed and reckless, I hurled myself into activity after activity, determined to fill up my life with meaning and a sense of security. If I could only take more risks or do it faster, I thought. So I bought a bicycle and tore down the street without a helmet. My gambling behavior landed me in the hospital. For months, I was forced to be still with eyes closed and nothing but my inner demons to keep me company. As I lay there, immobilized, I had no choice but to face the multitude of fears I had been trying to escape ever since I was a child. My fear of pain, of pleasure, of the past, of the future, of failure, of success, of life, of death, of non-existence, of purposelessness. We just ran through all of the fears of the spleen right there in that sentence. It wasn't until I gave myself fully to the fear that the strangest thing happened. All of my senses heightened. An inexplicable sense of aliveness welled up in my heart, and I was overcome by the eternal nature of my human spirit. From that moment on, I've trusted life and committed myself unconditionally to whatever it's brought me. My gift to you. It is time to stop postponing your life and to embrace the entirety of it, the pain as much as the pleasure. I bring you the gift of totality. I ask you to consider, no, that's not it. I ask you to surrender yourself entirely to life's mystery. In this moment, close your eyes. Be still. Listen with ever-widening ears. If possible, move willingly towards the dark. You will discover that your demons are only divine messengers in disguise. As you wholeheartedly make friends with adversity, you will find yourself feeling increasingly unfettered. When you are no longer afraid of death, you will finally be free to do what you've come here to do. Leave an eternal mark on this planet with the golden ink of your heart. To be alive is to be here now, fully. That's all. Wow. There are some questions for contemplation, which I will post for you all later. Here are the questions. Is there an inner demon you have been refusing to face? Are you constantly in motion? Do you engage in risky behavior in order to escape from how you feel inside? Are you terrified of being still? What are you scared of? Are you forever looking for your life purpose? Do you know what it is but can never follow through? When was the last time you felt deeply aligned with your purpose or connected to the totality of experience and existence? Write your own eulogy. Find a creative way to honor your own immortality. Share what you write with someone you love. Wow. That's a powerful place for the sun to be, right? How do y'all feel about that? Now that is Scorpio, she said. Lisa Kenny says, be the positive vibe and then just share the smile. Absolutely. And Deb Johnson says, I'm assuming Trump is triggering something in all of us. Absolutely. And just great, great, great comments there. I love that. Now, you heard me say that there's a programming partner to this energy of the sun at gate 28. And I just wanted to give you a quick little quote from within the gene keys about the gate 28 first, or about the gene key 28 totality. What does totality mean? And according to Richard Rudd, it is to live alongside fear while staying open to change and remaining committed to life. Let me say that again. Totality is to live alongside fear while staying open to change and remaining committed to life. Cool, right? Now, the sun is always challenged and challenging to the earth. And the earth plays the role sort of the devil's advocate because your feet are on the ground here on this planet. And so we have to look at where the earth is in the grand scheme of things, because in order to evolve, we've got to work with both of those shadow energies. So the shadow energy in the sun is the purposelessness or moving up into totality. And in the earth, it is moving out of selfishness and into altruism, which is what the energy is of gate 27. Look at that beautiful little face, right? Altruism, gate 27, gene key 27. It is also where the planet Uranus is sitting right now. So that rebellious sort of awakener planet conjunct the Earth this week, and the Sun was opposing Uranus on Sunday. So what is it that we are awakening to? And let's see what that might be through. Oops, I went the wrong way. 27. So to give to others simply for the sake of giving activates healthy currents deep within your body. The gift is altruism, the shadow selfishness, and the Siddhi is selflessness. And the programming partner, of course, then would be 28, where the sun is. And here's the wisdom story. My people looked down upon selfishness. Status and respect were earned through generous giving and personal sacrifice, not through self-centered accumulating and individual achievement. From the moment I could hold something in my hands, I learned to give it away. On birthdays, I gave gifts to my guests. When participating in ceremony, I gave gifts to my teacher and those around me. When I became a young woman, I served my family willingly and without complaint. But there were times when I was expected to give and I felt taken advantage of and disrespected. Even though I felt angry and resentful inside, I gave anyway, because that's what good community members did. Sometimes I found myself giving because I secretly wanted something from someone else, their respect, their love, their admiration, or their gratitude. Once I worked for several days preparing a meal for the whole village when what I really wanted to do to be doing was swimming in the river with my brothers. My self-sacrifice seemed to go unnoticed and unappreciated. Without realizing it, I pounded my frustrations into the tortillas that I made. When some of the villagers got ill after the meal, I felt just horrible. As I was about to confess to the elders my self-centered heart had poisoned the food, my grandmother, a master gardener, stood up and told the community that she hadn't properly tended to the corn and that the belly aches were her fault. Then she winked at me and pointed me in the direction of the river. That evening, as I floated and looked up at the moon, I realized that my grandmother had taught me the meaning of true altruism. My gift to you. It is time to look honestly at your relationship to giving. Are you giving from your heart or are you giving away your power? Are you giving without attachment or with a hidden agenda? What did you learn during the first 7 years of your life about selfishness and selflessness? I ask you to be intuitive in your giving. Give to causes and to people who are fertile, who can make use of the gifts they receive. If you are feeling angry or resentful, do not give. Not yet. Wait until your heart opens. Practice random acts of kindness whenever possible, and your sincere altruism will bring more joy and abundance into your life than you can possibly imagine. Questions for contemplation. Where are you sacrificing yourself in ways that aren't healthy for you? Where are you giving with strings? Have you ever given too much of yourself and then resented it later? How can you better care for yourself so you can give from a full cup? Where and with whom do you find it most difficult to set healthy limits? Where and with whom do you tend towards selfishness? If you weren't feeling so guilty, what might you do differently or do less of? When have you felt the most selfless in your actions? What are you feeling genuinely grateful for right now? Write it in your journal. Do something nice for someone today without them knowing it. It's good for your health. I love it. So I wanted to clarify something here that she was talking about here, where she said, what did you learn during the first 7 years of your life about selfishness and selflessness? What she's talking about, if you have gotten your gene key hologenetic profile, you want to look to where you see a red bubble that says SQ. The SQ is the gene key that ruled your physical development. And in there may lie the circumstances that you were experiencing and through its shadow, and also what you needed to learn overall as you moved forward in your life, because those first 7 years are where you learned the energy of selfishness or selflessness, or saw that at play in your world, and then either mimicked in the positive or mimicked in the negative. It just depends, right? Everybody's family was different. So what did you guys think about those? Aren't they wonderful cards? Just beautiful, great stories. Totality is the gift in the Gene Key 28, and altruism, the gift in the Gene Key 27. And a final thought about the Earth at Gate 27. The biggest lesson is that we're learning to give is to receive. Giving is the same as receiving. Receiving is the same as giving, right? To give is to receive, and to receive is to give. Okay. I don't see any other questions. I don't see any other comments. What's everybody thinking? Does anybody have anything specific they want me to go over? What time is it? Wow, it's later than I thought it was. That's pretty cool. All right. Well, nothing else coming up for everybody. So that will be it for me today. Just a quick reminder. Today at 4 p.m. Pacific time is the webinar, the November What's Up in the Stars webinar. We take a look ahead at the month of November. That is for people who are members of the Living Astrology Academy. If you want to become a member, you can still do that. It's $13 a month or $144 for the entire year. And you can attend the monthly webinars free, right? You can do that free. You'll be in the know ahead of time. Also, tomorrow, I will be at 4 p.m. There's something magical about 4 p.m. I will be on the Wisdom of the Ancients Summit, which I am going to send out an email about later on today about how to connect. And you can come and hear more about dimensional astrology and how I see how the three of these major divination systems coming together and blending to create a whole picture of who you are. And that will be, again, like I said, tomorrow at 4 p.m. Comment, Latricia, wow, just wow. This season in my life is about me developing altruism. I was programmed by religion that self was vanity. I was molested at age 6, which taught me that my sexuality was a tool. Yowza. So there's a lot for you to go through here, Latricia, and learning more about your own worth and your own value outside of what it is that other people see for you, right? You're learning altruism. I think a lot of us learned mixed messages about that. I'm trying to remember, like, did I see my parents giving, you know, I don't remember what my messages were about that. I just don't remember. That would be something good for me to look at. But I feel like sometimes we make choices based on habit, right? Habit, just the things that have always happened that we just seem to, you know, respond in certain ways. And that's where right now, Latricia, you have the opportunity to stop and ask yourself, you know, if I was programmed by religion to give, right? Giving then was, you know, some churches sort of strong arm you into tithing. And if you don't give, then you're not as good of a person, or, and not all churches are like that, but, you know, some of them, you know, you give because you have a giving heart and blah, blah, blah. But you got to think about what was it you were programmed by that religion, whatever it was, to do, and who were you programmed to be? The self being vanity, well, okay, but did that preclude you from loving yourself? Was loving yourself not allowed? Because is loving yourself vanity? No, it's not, It's not. Loving yourself, you have to love yourself before you can love others, right? You have to. You have to be able to find that well within yourself to be able to give and to be able to really express love to others. It's the same, wait, the story of the stewardess, right? It drops the oxygen masks drop down, and they tell you to put yours on first and then help your children or the people around you. Why? Because if you're not filled up, if you're not filled with love for yourself, if you can't breathe, you can't help other people. So it's important to understand that vanity crosses a line where you're calling attention to yourself to make you feel that self-love. And yeah, anyway, it's a totally different story. Hopefully that you're able to work through that and see yourself as the beautiful soul that you are, and that whoever the person was that molested you at six, that is their issue. And your only issue in that is to love yourself more and more and understand what that was all about for you. I think it's a common story we're hearing, right? It's really emerging in these days how the divine feminine has been abused and used as a way to keep her quiet or to keep her down or to keep her out of her power, because there's a fear there of that feminine energy. That feminine energy is the dark. Not the dark as in evil, but that's what they think of it as. But it's the womb energy. It is that dark well from which all life springs. And there's mystery there, and there's mystique, and there is raw sexuality there. And what is that about? And how is it misused? And so long enough, we've been relegated to not living the fullness of our feminine energy, and it's time to bring that back. Bring it back. Deb Johnson, I can relate to what Latricia has been through. The journey continues. Self-love, so one can love others. Absolutely. Absolutely. Self-love. And maybe you can't get to self-love right away, but maybe you can get to self-respect. And from there you can move on. Right? It all begin, you have to begin somewhere. Wherever you are, begin there. Right? Maybe you're in, hopefully you're not in self-loathing, but even if you are, begin to see yourself a little bit differently, right? Start to rewrite that story. Get your handy dandy journal out and rewrite the story you've been telling yourself about what happened to you when you were a child, about what happened to you in your family or through religion. It is true. It is your authentic story, but it doesn't have to define you, right? Rewrite it. Take the time, right? Maybe there's just one episode in your life that you can rewrite. And in the rewriting of it, let me tell you what happens. You start writing and you don't stop, right? You start to rewrite your story, and it becomes just so much fun to see what could be and to find yourself being the one that's in the seat of power there. Because you don't have to be defined. You've been conditioned to believe that you are something, perhaps that you're not, but you can undo that conditioning, right? You undo that conditioning by asking those same questions about why do I believe that? Is that true? What else is possible? What more is possible? How can life get any better? So rewriting your story. All right, everybody. I think that's it for me today. I hope you all have a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow morning. We'll take up what the moon in Sagittarius represents. And I think we also have Mercury conjunct Venus tomorrow. We'll talk about what that is. All right, everybody, take care. Have a great day. Bye.